All right, let me get the fillables out the way. And then after the fillables, I'm going to read some of the most controversial and difficult verses in the Bible. And of course I am, exactly. So I'm bound to offend somebody here this morning, but we will, you know, you can actually take it up with God, because I didn't write the Bible, in case you didn't know. So for the benefit of people from Ireland, we'll use Paddy as the example. Paddy and his wife had a car accident, and they died, and they went to heaven, and they went to the pearly gates, and Peter was in the pearly gates, and there were a whole bunch of people that had died that day. And Peter said, all right, I want all the wives, you stand in a line over here, and all the husbands, I want you to stand in two lines. The husbands who were the head of the family, you stand in this line, and the husbands who were not the head of your family, you come and stand in this line. And all the men came over and stood in this line, except for Paddy. Paddy stood alone, proud, in the line as the head of his family. And Peter said to him, Paddy, what are you doing standing here? He said, my wife told me to stand here. You can groan, but I got an overwhelming laugh. And then there's another one, and this is all tied in with the theme of what I'm going to talk about on Father's Day. And that was, it's not really a joke, it's actually, I think I've heard, this is a true story. You know Maggie Thatcher, she was the Iron Lady who ruled England about a couple of decades ago, and her husband, Mr. Thatcher, was asked the question, Mr. Thatcher, do you wear the pants in your house? And he said, yes, of course I wear the pants in my house. And I wash them, and I iron them. A few sighs there. All right, let me read a few scriptures. I'm going to actually get all the scriptures out of the way, read them, and then I'm going to talk about them afterwards. Because some of these scriptures you probably have never heard, although they're in the New Testament, you have probably never heard them being preached from the pulpit. The first one I'm sure you have. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Ephesians 6 verse 1, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Well, there's a good motivation to live a life of honoring your mother and your father. Amen. And then we'll cross over to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to start at verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also should wives submit to their husbands in everything. And husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. We'll end with that one. And then in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your real beauty doesn't come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and wearing gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, your real beauty should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Now, I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Verse 10, for this reason, and because of the angels, a woman ought to have a sign of authority on her head or be under the authority of her husband. And lastly, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. A woman should learn in quietness and submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man. She must be silent. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. Whew. Listen to that silence. You can hear a pin drop. Now, I'm going to break it open, but it's not as bad as it sounds. But you know, we are in a problem in our society. Our whole society is falling apart because the family structure has fallen apart. And we are seeing a rise of feminism in our day and age, whereby there are some rightful adjustments that definitely needed to take place. But the rise of feminine has come to a place where the role of a man has been completely emasculated and the role of a husband has been overtaken and overshadowed. And what we're finding in many communities is that the fathers are in prison, and with the absentee of the fathers, the children are completely out of hand. And so we find an insidious rise of a demonic spirit in this land that has risen up to try and reverse the divine pattern that we find in the Word of God. And it is so common in our lives that we struggle, even when we read this, we struggle to hear it, because we have been brought up with a totally different philosophical worldview. And so this is very difficult for us to understand. Now, before I go any further, let me just say there are some cultural contexts to what I have just read. First of all, the whole of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is talking about women wearing head coverings. And I don't see any ladies here with a head covering. No, I do. My wife has got a head covering. She's got her glasses on her head. But you see, that was a cultural context, because a woman with braided hair or cutting her hair or not wearing a head covering in the day that this was taught was a prostitute. And so a woman that would walk around without a head covering would be shameful to her husband. And realize that Paul is talking about this in a dispensation of grace where there are no more laws and no more rules, where men and women, male and female, are one in Christ. I really enjoyed what Pastor Sean said last week when he spoke about how male and female together have been made in the image of God. God didn't create Adam and Steve. And so we find that to create the fullness of the image of God, there is the interdependence of both male and female. Because God is both male and female. And there's no time to talk all about that this morning. But what we have found in society is that there is a complete role reversal. And to be a man in today's age is very difficult. It's very difficult to rise to the high calling of being the head of the family, because there is such an insidious undermining of that role. An undermining of that authority. And yet this is the God-given pattern. And I don't know how else to describe it. This is not, the verse is not a cultural context where Paul says, for the head of every man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God, and the head of woman is her husband. That's not a cultural context, because it's not cultural that God is the head of Christ. That's always going to be. This is a divine order that God has placed into this world. And Paul goes on in Timothy to explain why there is this divine order, and it's to do with the angels. He said, a woman needs to come under the authority of her husband because of the angels. So what does that mean? That, I believe, is a reference to the Garden of Eden, where the chief angel, Lucifer, manifested as a snake and beguiled Eve, who then led her husband astray. It was Eve who was deceived, not Adam. Paul writes to Timothy. Which means that Adam wasn't deceived. He knew that what he was doing was wrong. He wasn't deceived that he was going to get the knowledge of good and evil and be just like God, which was the deception that came to Eve. He knew that this was wrong, but he was so keen to please his wife and so keen to not disappoint her or upset her that he went along with her. But she was the one that was deceived. And so God, as a result, has placed the wife under the authority of her husband and established that as a pattern. Phew, I'm glad I got that out of the way. You know, Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the snake, and the snake didn't have a leg to stand on. But I believe that this thing of, you know, the woman being beguiled. This is going to get very positive just now in a moment, all right? And I'm going to tell you what an absolutely beautiful thing submission is, and what a terribly ugly thing subjection is, and how we confuse the two concepts of being submissive to being subjected. One is demonic, and one is beautiful. And this is where we get this thing wrong. But I've lost my point. Oh. It's not that women are not discerning. Eve was beguiled. She was tricked. There was a vulnerability in her. And I know that women are not discerning, because my wife is far more discerning than I am. Amen. Yeah. See, there's a wise man. I can see from the gray hairs. It's like ladies have got this X-ray vision, and they can just zoom in and they can see things. And I'm, you know, I can't see it. And Linda helps me time. I would not be standing as a pastor today of nearly, well, I've been actually a pastor for 40 years, but full-time for 38. I would not have survived if it were not for my wife, because of the discerning, the gift of discernment that she has. So it's not a question of discernment or ladies not having discernment. It really is a question of rebellion. And this is what we don't understand, because Eve, in her interaction with the enemy, engaged in the first count of rebellion. And what we're finding in this day and age in which we live today is that women who are not under the authority of their husbands are much more likely to be pro-abortion and pro-liberalization and liberal views, which are ultimately humanistic and demonic. And women who are under the authority of their husbands are far more likely to be anti-abortion and anti-liberalization, anti free immorality. Women who are not under the authority of their husbands are much more open to gross immorality. And so we're finding this problem in our society today, having gone to such an extent now that men are actually wanting to become women, and women are wanting to become men. That's how far along it's gone. And now we find this extraordinary thing where men are marrying women when the man is a woman and the woman is a man. How that works, I don't know. It's the most extraordinary thing. It's mind-boggling. But it is an indication of the spirit of deception that is working in our age. That a man would want to be a woman and a woman would want to be a man. And it all has to do with this thing of authority and submission. This thing of headship. And who's in control? And that's why on Father's Day, I am delving into a subject which I may only see half of you back here next week. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says, "The sinful nature," or the flesh, "desires what is contrary to the spirit, And the spirit desires what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with one another. So you don't do what they want. In other words, the flesh does not want to do what the Spirit of God wants. In other words, if a woman does not want to be in submission to her husband, she's in the flesh. And if a husband is wanting to abdicate his authority and just lay it down, he's in the flesh. Because if it is spiritual for a man to exercise authority, then it is a carnal for a man to abdicate his authority. And if it's spiritual for a woman to submit to authority, then it's carnal for a woman to usurp that authority. And that's how it works. Wow. English? I thought I was speaking in English. Now, before I talk about how beautiful submission really is, let's talk about subjection. Because this is a concept that many people have when they read these verses and they read about submission. They understand subjection. And subjection is from the dark side. It's a demonic power. It is a domination. It is a domineering. It is a subjecting. In government, it is a tyranny or tyrannical approach to government. And all of that is dark. And people, unfortunately, understand submission not in the beautiful light that I'm going to show you now, but in this ugly light of being controlled, made subject, being dominated. And this is where the problem has come in. Do you know what a rule of thumb means? I mean, you understand the metaphor of a rule of thumb, but do you know where it comes from? It's an old English law, a couple of hundred years ago, that a man was allowed to beat his wife with a stick, but the stick should not be bigger than your thumb, the rule of thumb. Go check it out. So, you know, if you're going to marry a man, girls, marry one with very, very small little fingers, okay? That is an understanding of the abuse of authority that is that has created to some degree the legitimate rising up of woman to refuse to be subjected to abuseful authority, and rightfully so. Because if a man is abusive in his authority, he is operating an illegitimate authority. And he loses his authority. You can't come and beat your wife up and then say, I'm the head of the home. That is a complete demonic abuse. If you're fulfilling your responsibilities as a man, then you carry the authority. But when you violate your responsibilities as a man, you lose your authority as a husband. Let's understand the spirituality of submission for a moment. It's a beautiful dance. When a woman submits to her husband and respects her husband, she enables him to rise up into his holy calling and exercise a level of authority in the spiritual realm that can be more powerful than anything else in that family. It's the same as when you have a little policewoman, and she's 4'1", and she's standing on the road with her little white glove, and she sticks up her glove, and a big Mack truck has to stop because she has the authority of the whole government behind her. That is what authority means. And when a man is exercising authority in Christ, and because the Bible very clearly says the head of a husband is Christ, there is no one on planet Earth that has more authority than you concerning your family. And that authority is exercised through prayer. That when you stand and you pray for your family, you are the most powerful voice on planet Earth. There is no one on planet Earth more powerful than you concerning that which God has given you responsibility over and authority over. And if you are not praying, there is no one else covering and praying for your family. As such is the importance of what I'm talking about today. Godly authority is an absolute blessing. Firstly, authority is a protection. In the same way as God's authority protects us from the devil, and in the same way as government ought to, if it's good authority, protect the nation from enemies, both foreign and domestic, and in the same way as the church authority protects the sheep from wolves and deception, in the home, the father's authority protects the family from wrong influences. Authority also releases provision. To be the head of the family means that you have the responsibility to provide for the family. God's authority in Jehovah Jireh means that he provides for his children, and he's faithful in doing that. He is our provider. Government authority, when it's operating properly, provides justice against evildoers. And church authority provides spiritual food, and authority in the home provides food and necessities for the family. And so when a man is being the head of his home, he's laying down his life to provide for his family. And that's a beautiful thing. And he's laying down his life to protect his family. And that's a beautiful thing. The other thing about being the head of the home and having the authority over the home is that godly authority is incredibly sacrificial. God's example to us is Christ. Christ laid down his life to redeem us and to forgive us as a demonstration of his love for us. There is no greater love that you can display than to lay down your life. You know, if I'm washing the dishes, I might think that that's greater and more, you know, burdensome than laying down my life. I'm trying to be funny here. Let me just deviate for a moment with a joke. So you know why women have got smaller feet than men, right?
No.
No, I can't. No. All right. Do you know why men have got bigger feet than women?
No.
I want you to know that I wash the dishes more than my wife, and I can stand further away from the sink than she can, because my feet are larger than hers. Now, I've had people leave the church because I've said that before, but all I say to them is they've got absolutely no sense of humor. And if you don't have a sense of humor, you're not going to last at Gateway. I'm coming down to Len. I want to keep this short because it's Father's Day and you all want to go and play golf. I get it. And so with the authority of the head of the home, the role of the father is to literally lay down his life for his family, to serve. And that is not the concept that we have of dominating and subjugating and making controlling and making people subject. It's literally a question of, like Jesus, putting a towel around his waist, getting down on his knees and washing his disciples' feet. So, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That is the beautiful picture of the dance of true authority with beautiful submission. Amen.
Amen.
And so godly authority is a huge blessing and not a curse at all. And so in conclusion, in the light of the days and the times in which we live, in the light of the spirit of this age, usurping a man's role, God-given pattern, how heavy are the responsibilities weighing on fathers? How serious is the call to be the head of the home? And how much support should we be giving to our fathers? With a whole generation being led astray, with the media and the culture working against fathers and against men, a father carries the responsibility to counter this deception and needs the wisdom to know how and what to do. And so when Paul talks about the role of fathers being the head of the home, he's talking about leading by example, laying down his life, representing the king of the kingdom in the home, the role of protection and provision, the role of spiritual authority in prayer, protecting the family from the devil, the call to lay down his life, lay down his time, lay down his dreams if necessary. Everything is less than laying down your life. The call to train and discipline children, and the responsibility to prepare children for life and for faith. And therefore, we need to honor our fathers. We need to be careful not to dishonor them when they are fulfilling their responsibility. I'm not talking about submitting yourself to somebody that is exercising ungodly influence and ungodly authority. You see, when you submit yourself to anything or anyone that's under the kingdom of darkness, you're bringing yourself under that kingdom and under that influence. And so if your husband is operating in the kingdom of darkness, I'm not talking about being submissive to that. That's why I say that you forfeit your right to exercise authority if you are not yourself under the headship of Christ. Because your authority only comes because you are under Christ's authority. And if you're not under Christ's authority, you have no authority. That's how it works. Amen. And so we need to be careful to honor our fathers, appreciate their calling, not take them for granted, and acknowledge the God-given role of a father in the family, because that's the way we will save our family and we will save our society and our culture. Amen. Phew. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for the beautiful role that you have placed in our lives, the call that you have put upon us. And I want to thank you as we come into a right understanding of who you are and what you have for us and how we are to live in this beautiful dance of authority and submission and how this is an absolutely beautiful thing that reflects the image of God. I pray for the healing that will come to the family as there's a right order that comes to the family. And I pray for wisdom and understanding of the Spirit to come to each and every one of our hearts so that we would celebrate in the divine pattern. Father, I do thank you that you are much wiser than we are. And I break in the name and authority of Jesus Christ every deception that has come into any person today that is thinking in a dark, deceived manner. Break it in Jesus' name and release us into the light and the understanding of the beauty of a relationship between a man and a woman that is under the authority of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Happy Father's Day, everybody. All right, are we having another song or are we done? We're done. You see? Authority. Oh. I just wanted to say as well, this thing about silence in the church, cultural. Because here's proof that silence, woman being silent in the church, doesn't apply in our day and age. You see, the reason why Paul was addressing woman, and I forgot to mention this, but about teaching and all of that and being silent. Women in those days never went to school. They never went to synagogue. It was the young men that went to synagogue and were trained and were taught. And there was no Bible for anybody to read. There was no opportunity for any woman to bring any teaching in that context. But the silence had more to do with all the gossiping and that was going on, because in the Bible we read very clearly in the New Testament that there were prophetesses in the Bible. And how can a prophetess prophesy if she's silent? And so that silence has more to do with all the gossiping that the woman were doing in those days than it had anything to do with how legalistically we would interpret it, you know, in a subjective manner. So I hope that that's brought clarity to everybody, and I hope that that's they don't know what usurp means. Who doesn't know what usurp means? You can usurp my authority right now.
No, I don't want to usurp your authority. I just wanted to say something, and this is my observation, so I'm not saying this is from anywhere, the Bible, anything. But in my observation, for women to follow the biblical instructions about how they should be as women, to love their children, love their husbands, and all of that, they can do that even if their husband is awful. I mean, it's very hard, but they can do that. But in my observation, a man cannot love his wife if she does not respect him. And that was, I just wanted to share that. And we've been married for 43 years.
Something like that.
And he had to change his doctrine on the woman being silent in church, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's actually thrown shoes at me. While I've been here, I've had shoes flying past my ears. So, woman, you don't have to be silent in the church, all right? It's a cultural phenomena. And submission is an absolutely beautiful thing. It's respect and honor is a beautiful thing. Why do we shy away from it? Because we think it's subjection, which is an ugly thing. Don't subject yourself to anyone, not even your husband. You are not subject to anyone except Christ. Amen. Amen. So God bless you, and fathers, have a great Father's Day. And I hope that I tackled that subject justly this morning, not an easy subject to talk about.